Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
How have I been downgraded from Britain, or the UK's top Japan enthusiast, to just England? Is there a Welsh one I've not heard of, or a Scottish one I've not heard of? I'm furious.
It depends what mood I'm in and how much coffee I've drunk. Last week, you were London's top Japan enthusiast. This week, England.
Oh, who knows what could be next week?
Could be Soho's top Japan enthusiast. How are you holding up? How's things going over there?
Good, man. Yeah, same old, really. We're still, all kinds of bother. Obviously, it's no secret that we're recording a few days early, but yeah, it's pretty much same as it was last week. We're just looking out for each other and just trying to self-isolate. I mean, I'm literally self-isolating. I'm in a box, like an audio recording box that's called IsoVox. So I'm isolating my voxels.
are you just going to stay inside your apartment for the next, like, 2 months then? How's that going
to
work?
Well, yeah, the problem is it's really hard to get exercise. The only exercise I used to get was, you know, either going down the gym and lifting stuff or playing a bit of football, and I can't do either of those things. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not a self-starter, Chris. I'm not highly motivated to do stuff off my own bat. I'm just going to be in this box recording podcast until I die, I think.
I think it's time to cash in on the Pete Donaldson workout, a workout that could be done within the confines of your own kitchen, using nothing but various tins and pots to exercise. If anyone could do it, it's you. Make it happen.
Definitely.
The Donny workout.
Oh, God.
I'm still trying to stay indoors as much as possible at the moment, even though no formal declaration to stay in. Just taking the initiative because.
Is the family chicky delivery service still working?
The family chicky deliveries. I do still go out to get food. Family Mart chicken is one of those things. At times of desperation, Family Mart fried chicken will see you through. It is a high calorific item.
Yeah.
One mouthful is about 6,000 calories. It will sustain you for at least a week. So if you are in Japan, hold up. Get as much Family Mart fried chicken as you can. Get it all before you can't. This week, we thought, because literally all of our listeners, all of you guys are indoors, no matter where you might be, whether it's Australia, Canada, the US, England, France, Sweden, everyone's locked up indoors. We thought this week we would do a podcast dedicated to ideas, productive things to do while you're stuck indoors. So you can try and make the most of it. I mean, I've been trying to be productive while I've been indoors. I haven't really, but I've got a few ideas on this podcast, and I thought we'd kick it off with your one, Pete. So this is our list of 12 productive things to do while you're stuck indoors, so you can finish the quarantine either smarter, fitter, or just better. And what is your first one, Pete?
I'm just saying, Animal Crossing could not have come out at a better time.
The world
has gone wild for Animal Crossing. I've never really played it myself. It all looks a bit twee. I'm probably wide of the mark on that one. Probably people will be up in arms about my opinions of Animal Crossing. But every single one of my friends just seems to be really into Animal Crossing.
Are you into it?
No, not, unfortunately.
Not a single one of my friends is not playing it right now. I think I'm the only person, including you, who's not got like Animal Crossing. I feel like I should. Thing is, I went and saw my friend the other day. He's been playing it like madly, and he just doesn't look like the sort of thing that interests me. It just seems very kind of chilled out. It seems more like therapy than a game, because you just sort of walk around building up like your island and building up your house and your community. It seems kind of cool, but it's not enough action for me.
Well, like, I think like on the go gaming is kind of you miss the audio element of it, I think, to a certain extent, because obviously Animal Crossing is beautifully imagined and
it's stunning. Yeah,
I think you need the music, you need the sounds in it, and that's not something you can do certainly in my setup when I'm on the go gaming on the Switch, because it doesn't support any Bluetooth devices, which is just bloody annoying in 2020.
Yeah, it's a crime. What Nintendo doing? I must admit, though, I am thinking of getting a Nintendo Switch Lite, like the Nintendo Switch in a kind of portable form factor. You can't plug it into the TV, which is obviously one of the key things about the Nintendo Switch. But I must say, I feel the Switch is better when it's just in your hands, really, than on TV. I did used to have a normal Switch, and then I didn't, because I gave it away to someone, because I was a bit silly. But yeah, maybe I'll buy it. It's a good idea, though. I feel a bit left out. In the same way I feel left out about football. And my Siri's gone off again, Pete, just like last week.
Every time you mention football. What is wrong with Siri? Why doesn't it shut its big fat mouth?
Throw my laptop out the window. Well, every week, right, in this podcast, the last few weeks, if you're listening last week, you'll know that as we were talking, my laptop, or my iPad actually, started talking. Because Siri likes to listen in on what I'm saying, and it just starts.
It's like when Lady Diana said that there was three in this relationship, referring, of course, to Prince Charles's lover. There is three people on this podcast, and one of them is Siri.
Bloody Siri! Still can't find a practical use for it. Right, my one. So that's the first thing. Number one, productive thing to do: get Animal Crossing. Number two, learn Japanese. What better time to sit down, learn some new kanji characters, learn some new phrases, just sit down, study, and isolate yourself. I kind of went from nothing to being conversationally fluent in about a year. And when I say conversationally fluent, I don't mean speaking like a native. I mean being able to just talk about anything to anyone, albeit not brilliantly. But I could kind of get by without needing to switch back to English. And in my mind, that is my definition of fluency. Which you can debate as much as you want. But like the idea that you can get by, have a conversation without needing to revert to your native language. I think this is a great time to sit down, crack out a book or an app and start learning. My favorite app is Human Japanese. I think I've gone on about it many times. If you've got an iPad, iOS, Android, it's a little bit pricey. I think it's like $20 maybe, but it is the best app I've ever bought. You can listen along, you can like press the screen and it'll kind of repeat the phrase. It kind of breaks it all down really nice and easily for you to like learn it. It's like a friend teaching you Japanese rather than a bloody textbook. So I'd say just learn some Japanese. There's lots of great resources online as well, like Tai Kim's Grammar Guide, another great way to learn it if you're starting off. So I hope you're going to sit down and learn some new Japanese, Pete. Make the most of this.
Yeah. The problem with my lifestyle is like I'm struggling to see how this kind of lockdown and shutdown and coronavirus self-isolating thing is, it's not really changed my rhythm in the slightest. I've still got just as much work to do. So it's really sort of hard for me to sort of figure out what exactly is different.
My image of you, I suspect my image of you is very different to what it actually is, kind of expectations versus reality. I imagine you get up at like 9:30 in the morning, you roll out of bed, crack out a beer, down the beer, eat some pot noodle, some sort of noodle-based product that requires just hot water, have a coffee, play some video games, and then do something productive around 1 p.m. in the afternoon. How accurate is that description of what your actual life is like?
Well, I don't drink at home, Chris, so that's the only inaccuracy there. So
the only inaccuracy. Everything else, spot on. I don't drink at home either. Why is that? Why don't you drink at home?
I think certainly, well, I used to work in the evenings. I don't anymore, so I could get blasted if I wanted to, but I don't think it's a good routine to get into. I know people, you know, smash back a couple of glasses of wine every night, but I'd I can't get with that, to be honest. I think I'd be I think I'd be sort of waking up very groggy indeed every morning. I don't need that in my life. I feel bad enough already.
Yeah, I think I'm the same in the sense that I see alcohol more as a social tool than something yeah. I enjoy. I do enjoy it. Like if I'm sitting down with friends having a drink, brilliant. But at home on my own, I've never really got into it. And I'm not a wine connoisseur, so it doesn't really work.
I'm a binge drinker.
I get it. But there you go. Number two, we're off on a massive tangent there. That could be another one. Number three, become a connoisseur. Number two, learn some Japanese. Take advantage of this time to sit down and study as much Japanese as you can. On to number three, though. What have you got, Mr. Donaldson?
Oh, maybe plan a trip for the autumn/winter. Plan the whole thing. Work out where you're going to go. What you're going to do. How are you going to get out there? I mean, don't book any hotels. That would be madness in this climate. But but maybe replan a trip that you were thinking of doing earlier on. Because obviously people would have been planning the Hanami Sakura tours and stuff like that, looking at the pretty tree flowers and that, as I call them, the blossom. But now, why don't you reconfigure and figure out something else you would like to do in the fall? Maybe a Halloween trip or something.
Absolutely. And I mean, I did have a few people who had cancelled their trips to Japan in March, April, May. And some of them were quite positive and upbeat. It was quite inspiring. They said, oh, I'm gutted that my kind of once in a lifetime trip isn't going to happen now, but I'm not going to cancel coming to Japan entirely. I'm going to come back in kind of autumn. And instead, I'm going to learn some Japanese, improve my Japanese for my trip, and kind of plan my trip better. So I've got more ideas on what I want to do. So, you know, it's not the end of the world. Well, we don't know that yet, but it's not the end of the world. Take advantage of the time you've got. Like if you are postponing your trip, like five of my friends that were coming in April, take advantage to prepare and make your up and coming trip even better. So that's a really good one. Plan your trip. And I am definitely going to shout out the Abroad in Japan website, because that's what the abroadinjapan.com website is all about. Getting ideas and inspiration for your trip. I think there's 200 unique ideas. We've got a trip idea generator, so check that out. But definitely plan your trip. That's number three. Number four, listen to a podcast. That's pretty another bit of product placement there. But what better time to sit inside and learn something new? Not just the Abroad in Japan podcast, but I've actually started listening to a Stephen Fry podcast called Seven Deadly Sins. I don't do podcasts that much myself, just by virtue of the fact I don't have much free time, but I really do. I'm getting into it more and more. And I came across Stephen Fry. Stephen Fry's voice is so soothing, so magical, so brilliant. And in the series Seven Deadly Sins, he just talks about each sin and his thoughts on it. And it's great. And I highly recommend it. Any ones you recommend, Pete?
I guested on one a few weeks ago called Clash of the Titles. I must admit that is a Stakhanov production, but it's a film show where they pit two films with a common theme against each other. But it really is very, very funny indeed. We've got Chris Tilley, a respected film journalist, Alex Zane, a man who is so into film it is ridiculous, who's also a TV presenter, and his old school friend Vicky Crompton, who is hilarious as well. She keeps them both in check. It is really, really fun. If you're in any way into film, if you're just any way into media, it's really interesting. And the amount of like little trivia stories I hear about, like say the film Aliens or something like that, I'm like, oh wow, that's really cool. I didn't know that. And it's really interesting about the genesis of how films came to be, because obviously films, they take years and years to come to life. I remember walking around Fukuoka, one of the temples, the temple I mentioned last week, actually, with the pigeons. I was listening to their episode about American Psycho and another film based on a Bret Easton Ellis book. And some of the trivia was fantastically interesting. The whole kind of fact that, that what's his name out of Titanic, Leo DiCaprio was going to be the bloke, and the guy who eventually got it was of course someone else who played Batman, Christian Bale, and his kind of Christian Bale sort of training for like a year and a half, because this was the role he wanted to play, and physically training himself into being this big sexy muscle man. So yeah, fascinating. Clash of the Titles. Sorry, I just went off on one about Christian Bale and Leo DiCaprio, but I do find these things fascinating because I don't know that much about film.
Yeah, I mean, for someone who loves film, I still don't know much about making films. So
it's crazy.
Absolutely. I really need to sit down and make a film at some point. And that might be coming up on our list later on. But listen to a podcast, learn something new, take advantage of those kind of pockets of empty time sat inside to try and learn something. Podcasts are pretty good for that. That's number four. What have we got? Number five, Pete, what have you got lined up? Even though you basically did most of the talking for number four.
This one's pretty simple. I imagine a lot of you are stuck inside or maybe in the garden if you've got a garden and you're looking after children right now. So my basic idea is don't go insane. It's a simple message. Keep your heads about you, keep your wits about you, because those kids, they're problematic at the best of times. Don't go insane, okay? Very simple. Don't go insane.
How do you not go insane? What's the secret to not going insane?
Just look at the long game. Think about when they're 16, you can legally kick them out of the house or 18 or whatever. I don't know what year it is. Might be 12, I don't know. But it doesn't last forever. Those horrible little monsters who are writing on the walls with crayons at the moment will leave your house one day. And, you know, look at the bright side. You're spending some quality time, even though you're really angry with them right now and you're exhausted.
This productive list of ideas has taken a dark turn. I'm not surprised. It's classic Pete. Don't go insane. Number five. Number six. I must say, I've had a lot of people saying they're disappointed about not coming to Japan, given they've cancelled their trips and whatnot, postponed it.
Yeah.
Why not go on a virtual trip of Japan for free, unless you have to pay for the internet? Why not watch all of Journey Across Japan, 28 episodes, from Yamagata in the north to Kagoshima in the south, 2,000 kilometres, 10 or 12 hilarious random characters along the way, Pete included, and dozens of interesting places and cities and towns, bits of Japan you never normally see. I think you could watch all of Journey Across Japan in somewhere between 7 to 8 hours. Not entirely sure. You do the math. 28 episodes times
like the Irishman.
12 minutes. But yeah, it's like the Irishman, but with more bicycles and more swearing, probably. Actually, I don't know about that. But yeah. Why not watch all of Journey Across Japan?
Yeah, you should have a little watch-along party. Not that you'd want to watch it again, because you spent hours with that footage. Days.
I'm still not ready to dive back into Journey Across Japan. I mean, technically, the last video...
the theme tune is so good, Chris. The theme tune is so good.
I do like it. It's cool. And it's royalty-free. It's very cheap. I've heard so many people use that damn song now, because it's on... epidemicsound.com, which is like a website where you can like get loads of music for free. And that's not product placement, that's just me talking about the website. And there's a song on there called Racing Hearts 3, and that is the song. If you want to listen to it in your own free time, the Journey Across Japan theme tune, it was a free song basically, and I've heard so many YouTubers and creators use it now, and I regret not buying the rights to a proper song. But there you go. I feel like it's theft whenever I hear someone else use it. But yeah, Journey Across Japan. Take a free trip across Japan, have a bit of fun, and watch Pete and I get lost with a map, a paper map no less, and chat to some interesting characters in Osaka. Watch Journey Across Japan, point number six. Number seven, what you got, Pete? You're clutching at straws here. You have prepared a list. You're making this up as you go along.
I'm just saying that, right, look, drug dealers don't respect rules or lockdowns. Get into hard drugs.
This list.
Look, I'm joking, of course. No, get fit. Get fit. There are so many fitness classes on Facebook and YouTube. I personally am planning on, he says, he's not done it yet, although we've been locked down for a little while. I've got one of those ring fit things that you plug into your Nintendo Switch controllers. And it's basically like a video game, a little kind of like RPG, but you have to be very, very physical. It is surprisingly exhausting, more exhausting than when I play a full match of, 7-a-side football or 11-a-side football, which makes me think I probably don't push myself very hard.
I'm not entirely clear. Was it get fit with hard drugs or just get fit?
No. I mean, the original one I wrote down was get into hard drugs because drug dealers right. don't respect the lockdown and they're probably one of the few delivery services that that don't respect it. I'm joking, of course. Get fit, get one of those Ring Fit things and do a bit of working out. You've got to keep your body physically working, even if it's just a stroll around the block with a hefty welder's mask on to prevent disease spreading. But yeah, it's if you've got the chance and you can legally leave your home for a bit of a stroll, I think that's probably quite a sensible thing because you can really it can really affect your mental health as well as your physical attributes as well if you're locked down for such a long time.
God, yeah, I dread to think how many people are going to put on weight just sitting inside eating popcorn and crisps and just chocolate all day. That's not going to be good for health, is it? I saw an interesting challenge. I can't remember what it's called. It's like the Iron Man challenge, or it's got a more not as good name than that. But it's a challenge where you're supposed to do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and 100 squats every day, and a 10-kilometer jog. Do you know what the name of this
right.
diet is or this challenge?
No, I don't. I mean, a 10-kilometer jog would be, I would say, very for a person who can't stand jogging. I find it very samey. I mean, it would be particularly samey if I had to do it in my shoebox apartment.
But I mean, if you did 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats every day throughout this quarantine, by the end of it, you'd be ripped. You'd be absolutely built like a brick shit house. And so I think you should do that, Pete. You should do the challenge and let us know how you get on, because I sure as shit, I'm not going to do it. but yeah, get fit. It's a good one and bloody necessary. Yeah, number 7, get fit. Number 8, we're clutching at straws now. We're in clutching straw territory. My one was build a town out of paper. Is that
build
mental?
A town out
does that
of
contradict
paper.
Your previous one, number 5, about not going insane?
I mean, it does sound a bit like, was it Close Encounters, where I only know the parody on The Simpsons, where Homer Simpson makes a clown, a big circus tent out of mash. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where he goes mad. Does he make an image of the alien vessel out of mash or something? I don't know.
I think he does. I remember vaguely there was mashed potato involved. I'm actually working on a video right now that may or may not see the light of day, called 21 Productive Things to Do While Stuck Indoors. As you can see, a lot of the ideas from that video have been stuck into this podcast, but it might not happen because it's quite a lot of effort. But one of the things I started doing for that video was to build a town out of paper, and I quickly got carried away. Like, I went to Daiso, the 100 yen shop,
and bought a lot of paper.
Like a little toy train and some paper. Bought a toy train that runs on batteries and it's electric. It's amazing. It's amazing what you get at the fucking 100 yen shop. And I started building this town. I built a pub out of paper. I built a train station out of cardboard. It was getting really quite good. And then I realized I was a little bit mental and it seemed a bit wrong. It seemed kind of perversely wrong. But at the same time, it was a lot of fun. So if you're a bit bored, maybe I should change it to get crafty. That sounds a bit better.
Get crafty.
Like a fox. Get some paper, get some craft goods and make something. Art. Make some art. There you go. Get crafty. That's number 8. Not build a town out of paper. Although I'm going to carry on with that town. And it may appear in a video in April. So keep an eye out. Number 9. What you got, Pete?
I was going to say it was kind of connected to your learn more Japanese. You could do that thing where you ring up like a Japanese person in Japan and have a chat if you want to test out your I can't remember which apps do it, but some of them do it. You can have like a proper Japanese teacher in Japan teaching you Japanese, and you can ask some, you know, proper questions about conversations, because I think sometimes when you're working from books or apps, you're not really cognizant of how people actually say things, and also it's quite hard to sort of figure out how that will be used in conversation, listening and kind of listening out for key words that you can sort of pick out. I'm no good at that. As soon as I ask for something in a restaurant, I'm happy asking for something, but as soon as they ask any further questions, I'm absolutely screwed. So yeah, get as much kind of like, when you are trying to learn the language, try and get as much experience talking to a native Japanese speaker as possible, and you can't go far wrong, I would say.
Let's explore this a little bit further. How's that going to work? Are you just going to pick up your phone and dial a random number in Japan? And
no,
some man's going to be like, Moshi Mosh. And you're like, Otoshiwa, Pete Donaldson dead. And they're going to be
if they're locked down as well, they're going to be bored. So there you go. No, I think, because there are apps that allow you to link. Is it iTalk? Is that a thing? That might just be an app.
That is good. That's online.
They link you to Japanese teachers. Yeah, no, but like, I'm fairly certain there's an online service that allows you, that links you to a Japanese speaker in Japan. And obviously they're peer reviewed. People who've used them before say they're very good, say they're very bad. Learn a new skill over video conferencing. That's all I'm
Number
saying.
Number nine, prank call random Japanese people.
Prank call random Japanese. There was my mate, Shigeru Miyamoto's phone number was distributed on a video game forum.
No.
Back in the day, invented Mario. Back in the day, and my mate swears blind, Craig, that he rang up Mr. Miyamoto and said, he comes from Aberdeen. And he was from Aberdeen, and he once when he was a kid, because there's just Aberdeen's just basically about oil rigs. They're just servicing the oil industry off the coast of Aberdeen. And there was a Japanese man who sort of came round, obviously a businessman, back in the late 80s, early 90s, and basically taught them, you know, watashiwa, Craig, unnamed des, you know, how are you, sort of thing, daijoubu desu ka, etc. And so he rang up Shigeru Miyamoto and said that, and apparently the man on the end of the phone just did a little giggle and put the phone down. So I don't know whether that was actually Shigeru Miyamoto, but crank call a Japanese person, get involved, come on.
Brilliant. Prank call Shigeru Miyamoto, the creator of Mario. He seems like a cool guy, to be fair. He probably would take that.
Yeah.
He'd probably have a bit of a smile on his face as it went down. Number 10. I don't know how we could top that, to be honest. Prank on random Japanese people. Number 10, learn an instrument. Learn a new instrument. I just bought a very small, very cheap Casio piano, Casio keyboard, and I thought I'd learn how to play a few songs on it. And it's been going pretty badly so far, but I think, given that I'm going to be spending so much time indoors for the next month or two, what better time to learn how to play the piano and become a master of the keyboard? It's not going well. I don't know if it will go well, but nevertheless, I think it's the idea, the sentiment that counts. And if that video does go ahead, 21 productive things to do while stuck indoors, I will showcase my talents and my ability to play two songs. Can you play anything? I don't know if you can play any instruments, can you, Pete? Guitar?
I can play the guitar. I used to be in a band, wasn't I? I used to be in a band, mate. So, yeah, I play a bit of guitar. I'm looking at my... I do still like my Dan Electro. The man who owns Dan Electro is a problematic individual. I believe that he's still there. I do still like my Dan Electro that sits in the corner of my room and I never touch it. I've not touched it for years. And I will, I know like three songs. I'm rubbish, absolute rubbish, but it's very therapeutic, isn't it? Very therapeutic.
Well, what better time to pick it up and start playing again?
Yeah. Well, I'm still, look, that's the thing, Chris. I can still do all my work from home, so I'm just as busy as I was before, if not busier.
You've broken my list.
I know.
You've broken my productive list.
Sorry, mate.
All right, fair enough. I will carry on learning the piano, and I'll let you know how I get on next week with some updates.
Yeah, piano rendition.
I can play the Mission Impossible theme tune, and I can play Fur Elise for the first five or six notes. So it's going pretty well.
Beautiful. Well, I've got every time I go to Japan, I buy another automaton. Which is, if you're not familiar, it looks like a big kind of robotic sperm. I think I spoke about this before. It's in the shape of a musical note. It's designed by this like wacky Japanese inventor who invents all kinds of magical machines. But one of his most popular products is it's just like a little kind of saxophone, like a digital saxophone that sounds a bit like this.
What?
Can you hear that?
I can hear that, yeah.
Yeah, it's very low on battery, so it's probably quite hard to hear. But it's got a sliding scale of like right up there. So you're supposed to be able to, like...
Oh, my Lord.
Happy birthday to you. Like, and you're supposed to be able to play music with it. Like, there's guys on the internet who can play it really well. But every time I go to Japan, I buy another two more, another couple more. And my collection is around about 10. I think I've got 10 now. The one I'm playing at the moment is a Kumamoto, Kumamon, little bear version of the thing. But there's loads of different versions. Kiss have got a version. Of course, they have. They merchandise everything. But I've got a Kirby version. I've got a classic sort of Daruma kind of model. And it's good. It's good to collect nonsense that you're never going to use.
I have a powerful imagination. I like to think I do. But judging by your description, I just cannot picture what this automaton thing looks like.
It's like a saxophone that's shaped like a crotchet that also looks a bit like a sperm.
I haven't got a lot to go on here, but yeah. I'm picturing like a robot, like automaton.
Yeah. Automaton.
All right, I'll check that out. Okay.
It's got a little mouth that it's got a little mouth you can squeeze in and out so that it kind of accentuates the noise. So it's very addictive. It's a lovely little product. They break very easily though, so yeah. I mean, don't overspend on them, that's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, yeah. I'm speechless. I have never seen one of these things. Yet again, you've been to Japan all these times and you've seemed to unlock things that I don't even know exist here, despite living here. So well done. Well done again. That takes us to number 11, though. I'm going to put that into our number 10 on our list, learn new instrument. Number 11, though, Pete, what have you got?
Well, start a collection is a really good example. You know, eBay is still open. The postal service is still open. Start a collection. I've got a good collection of not only the automatons, I've also automatons. I've got a collection of old iMacs under my chair that I never look at. I've got a collection of capsule toys that I'll never open on my windowsill. Start a little collection of something.
I don't know what I could collect. Although, to be fair, as I said, I did go to Daiso the other day and I did buy the 100 yen train. And for an extra 100 yen, you get four pieces of track. And I've made like a big circle for circular track for the train to go round on. Yeah. So maybe if I collect more track, I can build like a little city and I have a whole kind of railway network. Is that insane again? Is that going back to point number five, don't go insane?
You know, because Japan is like filled with people who are A, craftsmen, and B, or craftspeople, and people who are just really into stuff. Like, obsessive. If you're into stuff in Japan, you're really into stuff. So, like, obsessive, absolute otaku obsessive. We're not really otaku in this case, but like railway people. People who are into trains in Britain are generally older generation. They've got a bit of cash kicking around. They'll make themselves a little train set, but they're not as obsessive and they're not as into it as the people who are into trains in Japan, because obviously the trains in Japan, they are industry worldwide leaders in that sort of tech pretty much, and the amount of amazing models you can buy of train sets, I cannot imagine how good the Japanese train collectors are, because you go into any shop, any hard off, any book off, and there will be all kinds of bits and bobs about the Shinkansen and the local trains and stuff like that. If you get on a local train from the, you know, BF nowhere in the middle of Japan, you could buy a train that represents the one you just stood on, because they just do short runs of everything when it comes to plastic crap.
There's a video that's coming out this week. It might already be out by the time this podcast, the next day or so. It's called What is Japan's Most Expensive Train Like? And basically, Ryota and I traveled on the Shinkansen from Tokyo to Sendai. And we went in grand class. I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago. And there was a section on the track in Morioka where we watched the Hayabusa, the green train, the fastest train in Japan, connect to the Komachi train, which is a slightly smaller train that goes off towards Akita. They connect to Morioka. And it's really interesting, the nose cone on the train, which looks like a bullet shape, it opened like a robot. Took me back to Robot Wars all over again. And the nose cone opened. and they sort of came together like Transformers, and they just sort of, these like robotic arms came out and grabbed each other and pulled the trains together. And there was so many people watching and taking photos. It was at least like a dozen people standing there watching. Yeah. They weren't even riding the train. They just turned up at the station, come through the gates and watch the train being like pulled together. Just because people love it. They're obsessive over it here. So yeah.
Engineers and engineer obsessives. It's
yeah. Yeah. There you go. Number 11, yeah. Start a collection and watch the new video about a train. And the last one, number 12, is a bit of a open-ended one, and it is create something new. So in my case, I would create a short film, because that's what I'd like to do, create a little short film in the limitations of your own apartment or your own house. You know, you don't have that much going on there, but all you need is your iPhone and a little bit of script and a bit of an idea to bash out a screenplay and film something. Maybe it's a bit of artwork. Maybe you want to do some drawing. Maybe you want to write a story, a short story. Now's a good time to sit down and write something. Just create something. And I think it's a good time to be creative in the confines of your own home. And if the video does go ahead, the video version of this podcast, in the next few weeks, then I will make a little short film and I'll put that in the video episode. And it'll be with the little train, probably. I've got to fit that train in somewhere, haven't I? Let's face it.
Yeah, damn right. Damn right.
Yeah. Are you going to make anything or are you too busy?
Too busy, mate. Too busy producing content for the various podcasts that I help run.
Well, so. I suppose that counts, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's creative, isn't it?
Bringing podcasts to the masses. All right. Yeah. Well, let's turn our attention to the fax machine. Before that, just quickly, a quick roundup of the 12 points for those of you that want to write them down. Number one, Animal Crossing. Number two, learn Japanese. Number three, plan your trip. Number four, podcast. Listen to podcast. Number five, don't go insane. Number six, travel across Japan virtually by watching Journey Across Japan. Number seven, get fit. Number eight, get crafty. Number nine, prank call Japanese people. Number 10, learn an instrument. Number 11, collect something new. Number 12, create something new. There you go. There's our hit list.
I love it.
Now,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Let's turn our attention to the fax machine. What do we got this week, Mr. Dawson?
Jimmy Portella. Great name. And we're going to read your email right now. Hello, Chris and Pete, long-time listener of the podcast and recent binger of the Abroad in Japan YouTube channel. Recently, I started a new job as health and wellness manager at Aso Farmland in Aso Kumamoto. My girlfriend is a hotel concierge there as well. Anyway, my manager was telling me about how there was a famous foreign YouTuber that came to Farmland. So I asked who it was. He told me, Kurisu-san from UK. I then proceeded to nearly choke on my or something or other as I discovered
choke on my tea.
What is it? Tea.
Choke
is that
on my tea?
Tea.
He's written it in kanji characters.
It's got a little saddle on the top. It's a little looks like a little. I mean, I don't. You know, it doesn't look like.
Word
tea,
is ocha.
It's like a ocha. Ah, my ocha. As I discovered that one of my of the only videos of yours that I hadn't viewed was the one that you literally visited the places where I live, work, and hang out in. Regardless, I want to thank you for giving Kumamoto the attention it deserves. Oftentimes, places like Kumamoto, Fukuoka, Sasebo, Kyushu in general get overlooked by foreigners in favor of Tokyo, Osaka, and Kyoto, etc. Wow. Yeah, and if you're and if you ever return to Kumamoto, as previously mentioned, I'm health and wellness manager and a certified personal trainer at the Farmland. I'm in charge of training foreign clients. So if you ever need inspiration for a fitness journey video, please visit Farmland again. Fantastic. Mr. Muscleman, Jimmy Portella.
Do you remember, I don't know if you watched that episode, basically we went to Kumamoto. It's the one where we eat a horse, not an entire horse, a bit, just a bit
Yeah.
Cause a bit of a stir. But that's what they eat in Kumamoto, so I felt compelled to do it, given that that is the most famous thing they have. But the second most famous thing is a volcano. And the third most famous thing is Aso Farmland, which is basically a Smurf village, like all the kind of hotels. It's really hard to explain it, but it's basically a big park area where you stay in a domed house with about, I think, 55 square meters. And they're made out of like some sort of rare kind of material. But after there was a big earthquake in the region, a lot of people lived in these kind of domed huts because they're quite strong and resistant to earthquakes. But it just looks so surreal. Right. And I remember standing out there at dusk, watching the sun go down over this kind of Smurf village and just thinking how surreal it looked. Really cool place, Aso Farm Village. Check it out. And thank you, Jimmy, for letting me know that. That's pretty cool. I'm delighted that that the people, that your staff at Aso Farmland Village noticed that we made a video on it, because I didn't actually tell anyone there that I was going to film it. I just sort of rocked up and just filmed it secretly, sneakily. It's a nice one. Jenny from Bournemouth says, hi, Pete and Chris. Jenny here from sunny Bournemouth in the UK. First, I wanted to thank you for helping me through a tough 2019 as I lost a very close family member. And Journey Across Japan really helped me and brought me a lot of joy. Thank you very much, Jenny. It's very kind of you. Sorry that you lost a family member. I just binge-watched it again as I'm currently working from home due to the current situation. Thank you for inspiring us to visit Japan twice and making another trip in the future. I have lots more time now to study Japanese. I'm learning new words and kanji every week, and I'm now learning hiragana rather than romaji. I still have a hard time with the sentence structure and grammar. Any advice for someone stuck indoors with a lot of time on their hands? Keep up the good work, as I find your voice is very comforting and I adore Pete's accent. Best regards, oi, oi. Jenny from Bournemouth. You do have a nice accent. It's quite nice.
Jenny from the B.
Well, I guess we answered that question by doing the whole podcast in terms of how to make the most of your time indoors. Yeah, get human Japanese, Jenny. That's the best app ever. Learn some Thai, Kim. Yeah, any ideas, Pete?
I'm going to check out this human Japanese. Dogen on Twitter is quite good.
Dogen. Although Dogen. I do like Dogen. The fact you call him Dogen.
Dogen.
I would call him Dogen from now on.
Good.
Yeah, actually, he's a lot
of stuff. Because you forget that like Japanese is kind of a tonal language, and he sort of talks. Nobody ever talks about it. And obviously, when you're just starting, nobody gives a shit. But obviously, as you get more advanced, his lessons become more and more useful.
Dogen, he's really good for that.
It's quite funny.
Dogen, D-O-G-E-N. Obviously, the videos I've made about learning Japanese are very general. It's kind of me just telling you which resources to use. But Dogen actually does teach you how to do pronunciations. He's really great. And there's actually quite a good few resources. There's Japanese Pod 101. They have a good YouTube channel as well. So, yeah, it's never been a better time to learn a language like Japanese, just because there's so many resources online in terms of podcasts, YouTube videos and stuff. But, yeah, best of luck, Jenny, and thanks for the kind words. All the best. Keep the studies up. What do we got next, Pete?
Reese from Wolverhampton. Hello, Reese. Hello, Chris and Pete. Pete and Chris. Broad and Donaldson. Donaldson and Broad. B-Road and Teabag. I think I've covered all the bases there. just want to message in to say that I've finished watching the newest Abroad Japan, How Japan Overcame a $200 billion disaster. And I have no shame in admitting that Ichio Kano made me ugly cry. That woman's outlook on life is something every single one of us could learn from. Just a beautiful philosophical view on life. She was she was something else, wasn't she, Chris?
She was awesome. Yeah, Ichio Kano. So one of the most recent videos we did about the tsunami, and at the end of the documentary, the last person we covered was Ichio Kano, and we did a video on the tsunami 2 years ago as well, called "What Happened in Japan After the Tsunami," and she was in that. And we thought it'd be great to get her back in, just because her story is so moving. She lost her home, she lost her family, her husband, her eldest daughter. And yet she's still the most happiest, vibrant, bubbly woman ever. She's very positive, and she has some really great kind of philosophical outlooks that help her get through it. But if you don't have time to watch the whole tsunami documentary, just get to the bit with Ichio in, just because that's the best bit by far. But yeah, awesome.
Continuing the email, thank you for showing Japan in a beautifully three-dimensional way. It would be so easy to paint it as all light and roses. It feels like I know it far better for seeing its light and shade. Just to add a quick question, what would you suggest to visit in Japan to see or experience something emotionally moving? We see lots of videos about ramen and Buddhas, but when I visit Japan with my wife, I really want to visit somewhere that will live with me far beyond that. Thanks for the amazing channel and the great podcast. You get me through my weeks at work, Reese in Wolverhampton.
That's good. That's a really good question, actually, and one that's a tough one to answer. I mean, I find the coastline along Tohoku pretty moving in general. There's Okawa Elementary School. I don't think we showed you it, did we, Pete? We were in a hurry that day, but there's a school just north of Ishinomaki, which is one of the worst affected cities in the tsunami. There's a school called Okawa Elementary School, and basically, on the day of the tsunami, I think the principal was away, and the teachers kind of dithered about. They didn't know what to do. And rather than evacuate all the school children up the mountain that was next to the school, they very stupidly started walking them towards the bridge by the river. And very quickly, the bridge was overrun by the water. The water went higher than the bridge, and unfortunately, all the kids and teachers were swept away. I think only two or three survived who were able to run to the mountain in time. But that's a real tragic place. When you read the story of what happened, when you stand at the school, which is still there, as left as a reminder, the skeletal remains of the school. It's very moving. There's nowhere I've been in Japan that's quite as moving as that, I'd say. But it is quite remote, but a worthy drive, I think. I think it's worth visiting if you want to go somewhere and be moved. What about you, Pete? Anywhere that springs to mind for you?
I mean, to be honest, that trip was pretty decent. I mean, any time that me and that Chris has got into a car and driven me somewhere, of course, it's always been quite interesting. But yeah, anything that was hit, the Kobe, I know it's just a museum and stuff, but the Kobe Earthquake Museum was quite touching, I thought. You forget how many people died and how quickly it all kind of
really
came to a head.
1995, Great Hanshin Earthquake. Yeah, because back then, I don't think a lot of the buildings were earthquake-proof. So actually, there was a massive loss of life there. Although it did lead Japan to do its regulations, and they made the buildings stronger. And I think in the 2011 disaster, not that many people were killed or injured by the earthquake compared to 1995. But I've always wanted to go there. Is that the one where they've got the earthquake simulator, where you can see how
it. it's more just that there's just a lot of videos and people just showing you what happened, and also I think the most touching thing is like in any museum is just things that were found after the disaster, you know school books and binoculars and cameras and stuff like that. It's really weird. And when I was in where would I have been, Fukuoka, the Fukuoka castle, there's these wells that are all around the castle, the ruins of the castle anyway. and they're basically just detectors for groundwater, because when the big earthquakes have happened, when the big tsunamis have happened, groundwater, they sort of found after the event that the groundwater swelled
a little higher
every time, like, you know, but much earlier than you could have detected any kind of actual seismic movement. Groundwater kind of rises or falls or does something, so they've got these detectors all around Fukuoka Castle to figuring out when something big's going to be happening. So yeah, it's there's that sort of that was weirdly touching. I find sort of engineering project quite touching at the best of times, but for various reasons, because I'm a weird robot man. But I thought that was quite quite interesting.
A weird robot man. I like that definition. Of yourself. I like the phrase, whenever we get in a car, something interesting happens. It reminds me of the time I got my first speeding ticket in Japan. It was when you were in the car with me. So, yeah, whenever I'm in the car
Chris. Don't be a naughty boy. Obey the rules of the road, mate.
I will kill you. Last one's from Rama. He says, hi, Chris, and His Majesty Pete Donaldson.
Thank you.
His Majesty Pete Donaldson. I doesn't deserve that. I really enjoy your content, and I'm glad that I discovered your YouTube channel 4 years ago. Your work makes my hot day more bearable out here in Surabaya in Indonesia. On a normal day, the temperature is always between 32 to 37 degrees Celsius. Oh my God, how do you do it? Anyway, I always want to know more about Japanese society and culture. As you know, Japan has 47 prefectures, and I presume that you've already visited most of them. So my question is, do you have a favorite prefecture, and what things make you like that prefecture? Maybe if time, I suggest you make a short video that explains a profile on interesting things about each prefecture. Keep up the good work. Stay safe out there. For Chris and His Majesty Pete Donaldson, I'll wait for new episodes of the Football Ramble. I'm sorry if there's a dozen grammatical errors in this letter. Sincerely, Rama. No, there was no errors. Well done, Rama. No. Thanks for your message. Thanks for your
Better
question.
Better than any of my emails.
Yeah. What about you, though, Pete? Favourite prefecture? Anyone spring to mind?
I like that part of Kyushu, kind of. I really like Fukuoka. That's one of my favorite cities. I'm a city guy. I'm a city dweller.
You are.
And Fukuoka's an absolute banger.
See, I'm the antithesis to Pete Donaldson, city liver, city life boy. I love the countryside. And I remember somebody asked this to myself and Ryotaro once when we were together. Somebody said, what's your favourite prefecture? And both Ryotaro and I said at the same time, Aomori. Aomori is the prefecture at the top, the most northern point of Honshu Island, the main island of Japan. And you can get there in about 3 hours by bullet train. But it's just... it's got a really strong sense of identity, a really strong culture, lots of great food. They do have cider and apples. It's Japan's apple capital. They do have the largest morning market in all of Japan, Hachinohe Asaichi Gampiki Market. Lovely place. They've got the most expensive tuna in Japan, Oma Bluefin Tuna, where they sell for regularly $3 million a year at auction. They always break records with their gigantic tuna. Tastes delicious as well. Although, unfortunately, it's quite tricky to get hold of the tuna in Aomori because they ship it all to Tokyo where they get their real money. So it's quite hard to get it in Aomori. And yeah, I just think Aomori is a very mysterious, wonderful place. And yeah, both Ryota and I love it. And so if you want to escape to the countryside and you want to try three different distinct cities, Aomori's got Hachinohe, Aomori City, and Hirosaki. Hirosaki's got lots of orchards. Hachinohe has the biggest morning market. And Aomori City has fuck all. Now, it's got a... nice fish market, and it's got the second or first level of the first, I think, highest amount of snowfall in the world for a city. Yeah. So if you like snow, you're going to love it. But yeah, those are my favourite prefectures. Good questions, guys. Keep the stories, questions coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. Stay safe, stay clean, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye.
Bye, Pete. I feel like I just talked without letting you have a word in.
Don't worry about it. It's your show, mate. See ya.
It's my show. My show. Even though you are His Majesty Pete Donaldson.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.